Hello everyone, welcome to the Joking Dolphin Game Pod. I'm Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew.
Evening.
And Nathan.
Hey up.
How the devil are we doing?
Bloody brilliant.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yes, very much
that's,
so.
That's why I said it.
Do you want to tell the ladies and gentlemen what happened?
Well, not to be overly dramatic, but I chopped my finger off.
That's slightly dramatic there.
Pretty much.
I cut the
end
of my finger.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, you can't see me waving my, stump around. But basically what happened was I cut my finger cleaning. It bled for a long time. I thought I was going to have to go to hospital. But I didn't. And it's all right now. It stopped bleeding. So it's fine. Only bled for about 4 hours.
I mean, I'm amazed you were cleaning, to be honest, but... Shall we move on to news, then?
Yes.
Shall we start with the depressing stuff first? Just get out of the way.
Well, we already got through the depressing stuff. My finger action. Not that kind of finger action, but yeah, anyway. Go on, Mark. Let's get the depressing stuff.
Let's just move on, shall we? All right, so there's been, obviously, for the first bit of this year, it's just been a complete minefield of layoffs, hasn't it? Yeah. In pretty much across the gaming industry. And this past week, yet more seems to have happened, unfortunately. But we'll start with, involving two particular companies. So we've got EA. So they've announced that they will lay off 5% of their workforce, which is estimated to be around 600 jobs. And along with that, it's reported that Respawn's upcoming first-person Star Wars shooter, believed to be based on The Mandalorian, has been canned.
No.
Which disappoints me greatly, if that is true, that it's The Mandalorian game. What is it with these exciting Star Wars games getting cancelled? There was that other one, wasn't there? What's it called? Is it Amy Hennig was doing one?
She was doing one, yeah. I don't think it was given a name, was it?
Is it Star Wars? I think it just had a number.
Scoundrels or something.
I think it had a number. It was like 1616 or something like that. I might have got that completely wrong.
No, that was quite a while ago, actually.
Oh, it
was
a while ago.
That was 1313.
13, that's it.
That's where you played as like you're gonna play as like a bounty under in the underbelly of Coruscant, I think it was gonna be. Amy's was like a slightly different one because you started in Tatooine, I think.
Aside from that. There's also been Sony, PlayStation, pretty rife with layoffs, pretty big news. So they're reducing their headcount by 900 globally, which is about an 8% reduction. That's pretty big. And this is impacting a number of studios, including Naughty Dog, Guerrilla, Insomniac, and Firesprite. And regarding Firesprite, it's reported that a Twisted Metal live service game they were developing has also been cancelled.
They can see it for Naughty Dog because they cancelled the multiplayer for The Last of Us Part 2, didn't they? So, be nobody working on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I saw it to do it. Yeah.
I think they announced that before all this, though, wasn't it?
But there's also been one other thing, and it's a London studio, developer of SingStar and iToy games back in the day. Mm. And more recently, PlayStation VR Worlds and Blood and Truth. And they've been shut down. Well, they're going to be shut down, disappointingly. Have you seen what's made people particularly irked about this? Is that there's a photo circulating where Jim Ryan, CEO of PlayStation, he actually visited 5 days before that announcement was made. And there's a photo circulating of him just like smiling with all the team there. That's not made people happy. Because it was supposed to be like, because he's leaving.
Yeah.
It was like a farewell party, apparently, for him.
Well, it was a farewell party for all of them.
But they went to know that. People aren't happy with that. But it's just a really sad state of affairs in the industry at the moment, is it? Yeah. I read something that, was it something like 10,000 losses last year?
Pretty much.
Something like that. And so far, and we just started March now. And I think there's been about 7,500 now. So we're we're 3/4 of the way through that entire year already. Which is ridiculous.
Just insane, isn't it?
I still think it's getting worse. We're going to surpass that easily.
Yeah, not something that we really want to be surpassing.
No.
As an industry. No. But...
I mean, I know records are there to be broken, but we don't want this one.
Yeah, well, that's it.
That is shocking stuff.
It's a shame they're closing the London studio, because it's just a shame for the UK gaming industry as a whole, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're like on a verge of an industry crash or something.
I think it's more of a correction than a crash.
Correction.
Because generally speaking, this has probably been on cards for a couple of years. Because everybody over-leveraged in COVID. And to be honest, last year, the industry stagnated. And with wages going up, the price of everything going up, something's got to give. And unfortunately, it's people's jobs.
Profits probably went up as well, though.
That's it. I think like a lot of companies have recorded record profits before all this course correction that's been going on.
I think it's just preemptively doing it because they want to keep the shareholders happy.
It makes you think more about like how Japan handles stuff, though. Like they seem to be very like, I think that I don't know the full story of all like laws, but I do think there's some laws that sort of protect this kind of stuff. So like in an event of something like this, I remember I think Nintendo was there quite some time ago. They looked like they're in trouble, and instead like Iwata, who was the CEO at the time, took a pay cut before sort of taking anyone's jobs.
I think that by law he had to do that.
That's what I mean. So, I think Japan has those kind of laws in place where it's like, right, if you're in some sort of trouble, CEO needs to take a pay cut first before any, like, if people's jobs go, it's like it is a last sort of.
Yeah. I think there it's plan, kind of, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, to paraphrase Star Trek or Spock. But yeah, I think in the Western side of the world, it's pretty much the opposite. It's, yeah. The rich get richer, and they have their golden parachutes.
Of the many.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? It's CEOs, it's executives, all the shareholders, they need to be appeased before anything else happens. It's just such a backwards way of looking at it, but that's how a world we live in.
But yeah, I think as Mark said earlier, it's just, it doesn't seem to be getting any better, does it? If anything, it's just getting worse.
I think it'd be easier to list the companies that haven't laid off right now than have. And then you'll find which one's next.
Yeah, I was going to say yet.
Yeah.
Well, is there any silver lining now or any of this then?
No, just more misery.
I wanted to try and segue that into that new company being founded, but no, more misery.
Oh, that one. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Let's slight good news then. So, you know, Activision Blizzard, questionable company. Shall we say? Toys for Bob has now left them and gone independent. Mm. Or Toys for Bobby, as you suggested.
The other week. Yeah, the new name.
Maybe that's what's happening, as he took over.
Can we find out who the CEO is of that company?
I mean, they've not really said much else, apart from the fact that they've left. But they say that, I think they said they're still going to be working in conjunction with Activision.
Well, yeah,
Microsoft,
they're looking at making a... sort of a
collaboration
with Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. You know, masters of their own destiny and all that.
Well, that's good. Yeah, definitely. That's good. I think they proved their worth as a developer over the years. You know, they made the successful Skylanders series and then moved on to remastering
Spyro.
Spyro,
the Reignited trilogy.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say Crash, but they didn't do the Crash Reignited trilogy. Insanity Trilogy, sorry. But they did do Crash Bandicoot 4, and that was received very well.
Yeah.
Did they also do the Tony Hawk? Or is that the wrong one?
No, that was Vicarious Visions.
Yes, that was, sorry.
B-Dogs.
Yeah. But, you know, I think they've proved themselves pretty handy. I
mean, I'm just happy they've got away from the Call of Duty train, to be honest. Because the last time I heard about these, they were thrown on it.
Yeah, they folded into it, didn't they? Like, right, now you're working on Warzone, you're helping Raven Software out, so.
At least now they can focus on what they want to focus on, which is good. Because they've been around for a long time. 35 years this year, so got good pedigree.
Right, well, you guys have heard of a little known game that came out recently called Helldivers 2, yeah?
I was so close to buying it the other day, but I'm like, oh yeah, I need something to play it with.
To be fair, I was pretty close. I looked on Amazon, and it looked like a decent price, but then they said it wouldn't come for like a few weeks, and I was like, no. That can wait.
But then I heard about this news, I think, ooh, should I buy it?
Yes, well, it happened to be that on Steam, over the course of the week, two other versions of Helldivers 2 strangely appeared. Weird. They also had like their own discounts on them, and was showing that I think the game at like it was $12.49 US dollars and $9.99 for the other version as well.
Nathan would be straight on that deal.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'd probably see it. I'd probably be saying, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get them then. But yeah, according to Steam database, both of these versions of the games were actually existing indie games, where they had all their metadata changed by their developers to sort of look as though they were Helldivers 2, which is very strange.
Why?
Because I don't think I've ever known anyone do this before.
I don't think they could get away with this.
I mean, for them to even be able to do it in the first place, I think is astonishing. Like, so
What were the games?
So, the games, in actuality, were known as Figurality by Soul on Board Studio and Do Not Smile by Whitehall Games.
Huh. I thought you were going to say, like, Hell Scuba Divers or something.
Yeah, it was actually Dave the Diver.
I mean, let's be honest, that sounds like shovelware if I've ever heard it.
Well, strangely enough, both of those games were released on November 4th last year and were both changed at the same time. So people are surmising that they could actually be behind the same people. Both developers are probably the same person or people. Yeah, very strange.
Is there any record of how many this might have fooled? Any data on that?
I don't think so. I don't think there is, no.
I'd like to think people weren't fooled by it, but I'm sure some.
Well, I hope not. Maybe some people. If they did, I'm sure Steam would be kind enough to refund that money.
Are they still on Steam, these games? Do we know?
No, both games got pulled pretty soonish. Apparently, they were up on Steam modified for around 3 hours before it was spotted, and both games got delisted. But yeah, that's terrifying to actually find out that, like, you could just, yeah, I'm just going to put rubbish on, and I'm just going to change everything, change the name, change the developers, screenshots, get everything, match everything, and just start making money if people get caught on it.
I'm confused. Why would you be able to edit that stuff once the listing's already gone up?
How do you mean?
I don't know. I mean,
like your developer and all that stuff that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd have to put that as you're listing it on Steam. But once it's up there, you wouldn't be able to edit that sort of information.
Well, unless they took it down. I imagine you would still need to edit it, because stuff like, you know, if you get updates on a game, you want to post new screenshots, you might want to change the description.
Not data stuff like that, though.
Well, no, you wouldn't think so, would you? Like, definitely if something like the title and especially who the developer is and who the publisher is. Because it stated that the publisher was PlayStation PC LLC, which I think is the publisher for Helldivers on PC. But yeah, to be able to change everything, to be able to match up exactly to another game is
frightening. They would have had to go to like some...
Someone would have had to check it and verify it
before it got reposted. It'd be before it's changed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing you'd be able to tell the difference of is that games are given metadata tags by people that have bought the game. So you can say, like, You know, like for Helldivers, exactly, you'd be saying, like, oh, it's a 3D shooter, it's co-op, PvE, that kind of stuff, you get that kind of stuff. And on, I see on one of these change ones, the tags on it is still, like, side-scroller, precision platformer, 2D platformer. It's like, yeah, that's not Helldivers, is it? It's not a 2D platformer. So that would probably be, like, the big thing that would give it away. But, yeah, to be able to change all that kind of stuff is a bit of an oversight on Steam's part, I would imagine. And I think Valve will be looking to try and somehow resolve that.
Creates trust issues, isn't it?
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, now you could see all sorts of indie
every
games
game
getting changed. Like, yeah, could you imagine? Which one's the real one?
Yeah, because you think there'd be somebody putting their game to be the most expensive one, even though it's not that one, because people will think, oh, it's not going to be the 99p one, it's going to be the one that's the most expensive, getting the most money out of people.
Yeah.
$6,000.
Sold.
That's it, isn't it?
But I think it just shows they need to have more stringent rules in place for updating this kind of information. And maybe Steam will learn from this going forward, you'd hope.
Fingers crossed.
Well, no, I was going to make a joke then. I was going to say, Nerf can't, but... oh, I know, that was below belt.
Well, I can't with my right hand.
Well, hey. True, there you go.
No, this one, though. No, I can't.
I can confirm an attempt was made.
Yeah. So... on the 27th of February, we got a Pokemon Presents. So it opened up with Mark's favourite Pokemon, Pikachu, being followed by a few unknown.
Was he Detective Pikachu?
No.
No.
Just normal
Pikachu. Not his favourite.
All right. No. I revise. Mark's second favourite Pokemon. Normal Pikachu. So, yeah, anyway, Pikachu getting followed by a few unknown. And then we were welcomed by the CEO and president of the Pokemon Company, Mr. Ishihara. Mm-hmm. So he just came on to say hi pretty much. And then just let us know that the 27th is Pokemon Day, 27th of Feb, because that was the day that Pokemon Red and Green were released in Japan. That was nice. And then from there, we went on to get some news about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. So from the 28th of February, well, as of now, you're able to do Terror Raids. So the first Pokemon that's going to be in the Terror Raid is Venusaur. Then after that, we're going to get Blastoise and Charizard. So there's different windows for these Terror Raids within game. So from the 28th of February until the 5th of March, you've got your Venusaur one. From the 6th of March to the 12th of March, you've got Blastoise. And then from the 13th of March to the 17th of March, you've got Charizard. So they were the original three starters at the first game, for anyone that doesn't know that. So, yeah, might be an opportunity for people to jump back onto Pokemon Scarlet and Violet again.
I still need to even complete it. Like, I've gone
on, you're only about 2 hours in still.
Probably. I mean, I remember doing the first gym, but that's about it. I've not done anything else, so I'm pretty far behind.
Yeah, I can remember when I got Scarlet and Violet, and me and Lisa played it, and we were just racing each other to see who could complete it first. So that's why we were, well, why I did it so quickly, because I wanted to do it before her and spoil it for her. So
a bit harsh, but.
Laws of the jungle. Anyway. So after that, we got some Pokemon Go news. So there's going to be a collaboration event with the Pokemon Horizon series. That's going to be from Tuesday the 5th, which is the day of this podcast release, until Monday the 11th of March. So we're going to have a Pikachu wearing Cap's hat. So that'll be making its debut. And it's going to know the move Vault Tackle, which is a Pokemon Go first. So that'll be cool. And then we've got some other Pokemon making their debut as well. I'm probably going to butcher these names because, honestly, like, my Pokemon knowledge starts to wane when it gets to, like, Gen 5 and beyond. But we're going to get Cyrillege.
Cyrillege.
It's Cyrillege. Yeah, that's a word.
Yep.
Charizard and Armarouge. So
these are just coming out of random name generators, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Probably.
And then also we'll get Liko and Roy. They'll be showing up when you take a snap of your Pokemon in game. So
Roy. Is Roy a Pokemon?
No, Roy is a person.
No.
Oh. The Pokemon Roy.
So yeah, so these are like the new
protagonist.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
Of the Horizons anime, yeah. So, and then we got a splash screen, and it's saying we can watch the Horizon series from the 7th of March on Netflix, but that's US only. So, not for us, just for the Americans for now. Don't know when we're going to get it. But anyway, you can probably use your VPN if you want to, if you really want to watch it. Next up, we got some information about Pokemon Sleep. So, this is a game. Sleep. Yeah. So, it's a basically, it's a sleep tracking app. But for Pokemon.
You can, like, capture Pokemon while you sleep?
What?
Yes.
That's the answer.
Oh. Okay.
So anyway, I'll get into this one. So we had a cinematic of a Pokemon called Raikou, like an electric dog thing, running into a city. And then Raikou ends up sleeping on somebody's floor. And then this guy wakes up from his bed and takes a picture of Raikou.
Right.
And then we get the announcement that Raikou is coming this month.
I was picturing Pokemon Sleep. I was picturing all that in my head as you were describing it.
Yeah, good. Wonderful.
Looks riveting.
And then we're also going to get Entei and Suicune. So as part of the second generation of Pokemon, we got these three legendary dogs. And those
all dogs are legendary.
some of them are not. More dogs are legendary than others, and these are the most legendary.
I'm not going to let Milo hear what you just said.
Right, Milo is the fourth legendary dog. All right.
Oh, go on, then. I'll leave.
Okay.
Outside the medals.
Yep.
So
yeah. Anyway, that's happening. Now, to be honest, the next bit for Pokemon Master ZX, that's another Pokemon game. I don't really play mobile it, game. That's the thing. Another Pokemon mobile game.
Mm.
So it opens up with a nice cinematic of Lance, a dragon member of the Elite Four, fighting somebody with red hair. I should know who it is. I've seen his face. I can't quite remember. And then, basically, we get a few screenshots saying that there's going to be a few people appearing in Pokemon Masters EX. So we're going to get Geeta and Gilmora. So they're going to appear, well, they're appearing now as of the release of this podcast. And then we're also going to get Silver and Tyranitar. A couple of people there. Oh, yeah. Lance was fighting Silver. That makes sense now. Yeah. So anyway, that's that. Onto another Pokemon mobile game. If they weren't enough.
How many are these things are there?
I think there's about six now. Anyway, Pokemon Cafe Remix. So it opens up with a load of food-based Pokemon things. I will say one thing about this. It really made me want a Diglett sandwich.
What's in a Diglett sandwich?
Well, Diglett's like the bread, and then in the sandwich there's tomatoes and lettuce, and that's it.
Bacon?
Pretty boring.
BLT?
No. I don't think bacon exists in Pokemon.
What?
Surely you would have a tuna mayo.
Hey.
It wouldn't be bacon. It would be Lechonk meat if it were Pokemon.
Lechonk meat.
So Lechonk is a pig. It's like a pig Pokemon.
Right. Okay. So,
anyway, I bet you love all this stuff that you're learning, Mark.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yep.
Anyway, so it goes on to say you complete certain puzzles to collect Gimme Ghoul coins. So Gimme Ghoul is another Pokemon.
What? Coin? Eh? Gimme Ghoul, yeah. But it has coins.
Yes. It's like a coin Pokemon. And you can use it as
a coin Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, this is outrageous now. What's going on? I thought Pokemon were animals.
They are animals.
It's not inanimate objects.
But they can be based on real things as well.
I don't know. It's more of like a little humanoid
a pouch, coin kind of thing.
What?
He normally lives inside of like a treasure chest with coins. So, right, I'm going to ask it. Okay. I'll get a 4 for Mark. You continue now.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so because of this event, you can choose from. Is it, what's the grass start called for Gen 9? Is it Sprigatito?
Sprigatito, yes. Sprigatito.
Yeah. So from now, you'll be able to add Sprigatito, Fuecoco, or Quaxly to your staff for your Pokemon Cafe. And then in addition, you could also join bingo events to have Tridom or Mirrodon as part of your staff as well. So, more staff members for your Pokemon Cafe.
Just for information, I've shown Mark a photo of what...
So it's a thing Gimme that Ghoul lives with coins. It's not the actual coin Pokemon.
No, it's not the actual
the Pokemon
coin.
Isn't the coin.
No.
That's what was confusing me. Right. That makes sense there.
Basically, it's got two forms. There's a chest form where it's inside of a chest of coins, and there's like a roaming one where it's outside the chest. Right, well, swiftly moving on from Pokemon Cafe Remix, we got another Pokemon mobile game.
Oh, are you having a laugh?
Right, this is the second to last one, I promise.
Second to last? Oh, there's a lot in there. So we got an update to Pokemon Unite, which you can also play on the Switch. So we got some news that some Pokemon are coming to the game that you're about to play as. So we're going to have Mirrodon, the sort of future legendary Pokemon in Gen 9. We've got Varlinks, which is like a group of little, what would you call them?
I don't know. There's nothing that you can really compare them to.
Yeah. They essentially combine to make almost like a caterpillar, but they're all like individual as well, so they can have their own free will. And Gruulage. Or Cruelage is also coming. One of the things a mythic Pokemon in Gen 9. I'm not too sure now. But Mirrodon is going to be available now. Farlinx is coming in April. And Cruelage does not have a date at this moment in time.
Yes.
I believe you'll also get some free unlock stuff as well. They give away like a gift code that you can use to be able to unlock Mirrodon for a few days free. So
right now let's get to the meat and potatoes. Now this is the stuff.
Yeah, I think from here on we got some new stuff that actually
this
look pretty good
stuff. Is it okay?
Yeah,
excite me.
Prepare to be excited, Mark.
Go on.
So this opens up, so we don't really know what this is because they didn't preface it with any splash screen or information. So we get a cinematic of this guy opening up packs of Pokemon cards, but on his phone. So rather be physical cards, it's cards on an app. They announced a new game that's going to be coming in 2024 called Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket.
Must have been up all night thinking that now.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It does. So this is going to allow you to open virtual packs of Pokemon cards, so you get two free every day. Don't know about the packages for paid ones, but when you open your packs, you're going to be able to look at them, trade them with friends, battle, and it'll be a nice little experience. Like, I don't collect Pokemon cards anymore, but even I'll download this and get my couple of free packs and get the nostalgia hit of opening up a virtual pack of cards, because one thing that is pretty cool is you see the pack, and then you can, like, well, not this broken finger, but you can scroll your finger over as if you're ripping the pack of Pokemon cards open, and then you can flick through them one at a time as if you're, like, going through cards in a pack. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Mark's not sold.
Some of the...
that's okay.
Some of the, like, Halo ones as well, with, like, the special edition ones, will be, like, interactive as well. So some of them you've seen, like, a Charizard EX card that had, like, a 3D effect on them. And then I think another, I want to say a Pikachu one, had, like, a full interactive, like, you almost, like, dived into the world of, like, that card's illustration. It was pretty cool.
So I think they called their ones immersive cards.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I hope there's not, like, some sort of a monthly subscription thing. To get in a certain card and like a certain amount
of
packs.
That's the thing.
That's a battle pass.
And also, what they're probably going to do is dive into the Classics Collection, where you can get the original packs of Pokemon cards and stuff. They're definitely going to do that, aren't they?
My only thing on this is that it is going to clash with... I mean, they already have a trading card game app already that's like... the full thing when they did the full card game onto the app. So I wonder how, like, will this take away from that app? Will there be a connection between both apps?
I don't know. I can imagine if this does take off, it'll probably end up cannibalizing the other app if it does take off, and they'll just have this one.
Mm. My other thing as well, because I remember the PC game, and I think maybe the mobile app as well, I can't be too sure, had a function in it where, do you know in physical packs that you get?
Oh, yeah, you get that, like, QR code to scan.
QR code and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Pockets will also come with that, because if it is, I've got a lovely collection here that I could do with scanning from my physical card collection that I had a few years ago.
Would you get a digital version of that specific card?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll show you the card here. So this is like a graphic, and then this is the code QR, if you can see it.
Yep.
Just about. So yeah, you could get that scanned, and then you'd get a digital copy of that pack that you just got.
Fingers crossed it will.
Right, well, should we move on to our final Pokemon news? There we go.
Yeah, we got one last thing, didn't we?
Is it another MOBA?
It's not. Good. So don't worry, Mark.
Well, I mean, the Switch is technically
on the MOBA.
It's a hybrid console.
So, yeah, hybrid. Right, well, we started off with a bit of news saying there's a redevelopment of a certain city. We didn't know what yet. Just said there was a redevelopment of something city going off. And we started getting pencil drawn artwork of like some buildings. And we saw some people as well that got drawn in. And then we saw like a Pikachu getting drawn in. And then it all transitioned into sort of like a Tron-esque virtual world.
Well, it was Lumino City, weren't it? From Kalos.
So we eventually find out, as Pikachu is roaming through the streets of the city, going through, you're seeing sort of one Pokemon battle going on between a trainer and a Dragonair, I think, at some point in a canal, and then like a Gyarados was randomly appearing there as well. And you've seen some other Pokemon as well. I think there was dog Pokemon that you can customize. Frufru, I think it's called, something like that. Anyway, you go through these streets, it transitions over, you're following one of the bird Pokemon as well, going around this Eiffel Tower-esque building. And yes, you eventually find that the city is based on the Luminous City, which appeared in Pokemon X and Y, the Generation 6 Pokemon, which was the first one to appear on the 3DS. It was also my first Pokemon game coming back after a few generations out. So this has a bit of a special place for me. in terms of Pokemon gens. And then, yeah, you saw that there was some sort of redevelopment of Lumino City. It did fly out initially. You saw, like, the whole city, which is basically just, like, a dish, in effect. And then you saw, like, a rough to draw out version of it, which might suggest that it's, like, a past version of it. I'm not too sure how they're playing this. It's interesting. But then it came out and revealed that we're getting a new Pokemon Legends game with the title of Pokemon Legends. I don't know how they are going to say this officially, but I'm going to say it as Z-A.
Well, when I saw this, I think there's going to be two games. Pokemon Legends Z and Pokemon Legends A. Because it said releasing simultaneously worldwide in 2025. So that to me means that there's two. And I think with what we saw with the future and the past is that one's going to represent the future of Kalos and another one's going to represent the past of Kalos.
I don't think they would do that though, because I see this as like us finally getting that third game that Generation 6 never had.
Well, we all wanted Pokemon.
It seemed like it was going that way, wasn't it? Because there was, so you got Pokemon X and Y, and each Pokemon game has their own legend that's kind of shaped like that lair. And then they introduced a new Pokemon.
Zygarde,
which seems to suggest, oh, we're going to get a Pokemon Z at some point. Never happened for whatever reason. And they just moved on to Pokemon Sun and Moon. But I mean, it's going to be fascinating. It looks as though it's going to be something based on obviously Kalos, or at least Luminous Sea specifically. Maybe I read some of the stuff on the Pokemon's website and it seems to suggest that this game might just take place in the city itself. Like the whole city is just going to be like an open world.
It'd have to be big though, and it'd have to incorporate a lot of environments to be a Legends game. Because Legends game, well, from what we saw with Arceus, it's all about exploration.
Well, yeah, but then the next evolution from Legends was Scarlet and Violet, and that was, all in purposes, an open-world game. So you'd imagine, I know it's got Legends in the title, but you'd imagine this is just going to be one big game. Maybe, rather than it being two games, maybe it is just one game, but the story is set in two times. Maybe you get that at some point you travel to the future, Luminous City, do stuff in there, go back to the past, and Luminous City at that point is just set of like different regions, maybe. Like you said, maybe you like you got your snow region, you got your mountain one, your swamp, however you want to play it, maybe. I also heard as well, you saying that when you saw those releasing simultaneously, we also know at some point, 2025, Switch 2 is coming. Perhaps this game goes between both platforms.
Oh, okay.
Could be a launch title, but also for the original Switch as well. Maybe. Someone threw that out there. And it does seem they've used the word in for a reason, saying simultaneously. So, could be interesting. I never thought they would go to Kalos next, though. It does seem they've like skipped Gen 5. Like, I think a lot of people were expecting like a Gen 5 remake at some point.
Well, we got Black and White 2, didn't we?
Yeah, but you would class that as like that was the sequel to Black and White, and that's the follow on games. Like, you had Red, Blue, then Yellow, then you have Gold, Silver, Crystal followed that on. Black 2 and White 2 was just the follow-on games, whereas, like I said, Gen 6 never had a follow-on game for some reason. But yeah, it is interesting they're taking their time as well, because this is launch, like I said, is launching next year. So for 2 whole years, we've not had like a mainline Pokemon game.
I mean,
maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's Game Freak being like, okay, we acknowledge Scarlet and Violet wasn't up to the standard that people expect Pokemon games to be when launched.
Well, they've expanded upon it, though, with DLC and stuff, so...
Well, yeah, they've expanded on it, but like I said, at launch, obviously, it was very buggy, games crashed, that kind of stuff. So maybe they're actually like, okay, we need to take our time with this. which, fingers crossed, hopefully it's going to be good. There was implementations as well for the Kalos storyline that, like, if there's a past thing, I remember in X and Y, there was a mention of, like, a Pokemon war that happened, like, centuries before. So maybe...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they could incorporate some of this in that.
Yeah, be interesting. There's a lot of different directions it could go in.
But... Yeah, it's just fascinating that there seems to be... they must have shown off, like, Kalos' present slash future for a reason. And then these documents feel like they still kind of go back to the past with, like, the old drawing of it. So... Yeah.
Just its initial inception and then where it's going in future. Yeah.
Mm. But no, I'm looking forward to a new Legends game. I loved Arceus. Never finished it. Probably should actually get around to actually doing everything. Well, I'm in post-game stuff. Like, I never fought Giratina.
Oh, right. Fair enough. So, I did all that. I didn't do as much of the collecting of Pokemon as I really should have. But
yeah, I was doing that. I was like, I need to complete like the Pokedex because I love how you catch Pokemon in this game. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I hope it's gameplay-wise, I hope it does match Legends. So.
Yeah, but we shall see.
Yep. We'll see you next year.
Well, thanks very much, chaps. We'll be back next Tuesday. Follow us across social media. Find Joking Dolphin on YouTube and Facebook, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at Joking Dolphin. Plus, you can visit our website at jokingdolphin.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.